We're continuing our fourth presentation on Celtic spirituality. And today, now where am I? Today we're going to continue the, for the benefit of those who have not been with us, that ancient Christian and monastic traditions, especially Celtic traditions and Benedictine spirituality, offer great wisdom for exploring our unfolding journeys and practice a spiritual life. And as Jeanette was sharing prior to everyone joining, intentionally live our beliefs, to embody our beliefs, and we will be drawn to seek more. Today, we're going to look at the practice of three essential things. With three essential things, three is a sacred number in the Celtic tradition, and saints were said to have expressed their own desires and commitments in terms of three. Saint Columcille of Iona asked God that she would be able to live out virginity, wisdom, and pilgrimage. Saint Ita of Kilidi focused on faith, simplicity, and generosity. And another example of a desert father, a desert monk, Abba Benjamin, told his sons that when you can be joyful at all times, pray without ceasing, and to give thanks for all things, you will inherit a share of the kingdom of heaven. We live in a world which for many people is increasingly framed as either or, black or white, good or bad, we, they, us, and the other, all dichotomies. And when we choose to consider a third possibility rather than dualistic, when we hold on to a non-dualistic choice, it offers us creative tension and complexity and the mystery of life, which will enrich us yet further. Esther DeWall notes, traditionally Celtic people, with their love for formulating things and their passion for significant numbers, have always given special veneration to the number three. Most beloved or all was the triad, an arrangement of three statements that summed up a thing or a person or quality or mood or simply linked incompatible things. None of the saints, monks, or desert fathers said the same three things. So consider instead things which feel essential in one person, and things that feel essential in one season of our life may become of more or less importance than another instead of right or wrong. Celtic tradition holds a wisdom for exploring beyond dogma of scripted programs of steps or rules, although certainly Benedict had a rule of life, but instead speaks to wisdom from years of practice. Their stories point to the need to stay committed to one's truth, live present to each moment, with the guidance and discernment of clergy, a spiritual director, or a soul friend, to see past the dualisms that we are drawn to in worship. And I'm wondering if how this resonates for any of you at this point. Do you get the sense that, do you agree that in this world there's an awful lot of we, they, and the way things can sometimes seem so black and white, when really there are so many beautiful shades of gray that can be appreciated in between. And some of those three things that we might have identified in our youth may be very different than how we're looking at things today, or how we might look at things in a few days or in a few years. The most important thing is to honor your truth, and discernment comes in conversation with others, which is why it's good that we have small plates and things like that, and spiritual direction. Okay. For three essential things, we have seasons of discerning. And for me in particular, during this time of pandemic, and listening as a coach and as a clergy person in working with people, folks have really begun to question, especially in this time of pandemic, what are our deepest life loves? What's really important right now? And beginning to let go of things which stand in the way. Saying yes to the truest part of us, and I would call that our soul center. And when we do this as an ongoing process of our life lived, I believe that what's important always shows itself. For three essential things to consider, what if you awake each morning with a sense of gratitude for another day? What if each morning you weave love and light into the tapestry of this new day for yourself and for others? And how might that break discernment open for you in new ways? It's a crazy time right now. And it can be a challenge to look for gratitude each day when things seem like they're spiraling around us and crashing down. Another example of three essential things. Micah 6:8, the prophet Micah is a contemporary in 1st Isaiah, and he asks, "What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." When we do justice, we care first and foremost for those who struggle to care for themselves due to the inequities of society. When we love kindness, think of truly loving something and putting it first before yourself, your husband, your kids, the church. Strive to be kinder and look for improvement over perfection, because as important as it is for me to love kindness or to be kind, even with Celtic spirituality living present to the moment, it is indeed a challenge sometimes to not want to react to things rather than to pick one thing that makes a difference with that person that could be irritating you and to find a way to be kind and to know that we're always looking to improve our best selves. To walk humbly with your God, putting God first in your life, following his will for you, and establishing priorities. For this season in your life, what are your essential things and what do they mean to you? Reflect on three practices or principles in your own life that you hold most essential today, and hold these as touchstones right now as you continue to discern what is ripening for you in your life. No sharing? Stop share. Okay. So, tell me about three things that are important to you. Have you given consideration? I mean, there's probably 100 things that are important to us, but I don't know if I will do this justice to hold it up to my computer, but it is feet walking. And the artist has inscribed in the colors above, sort of the horizon area, you have been told what is important, do what is good, to be kind and to walk humbly. And I love, it's just a tiny little thing that I have on my buffet, and I just love knowing that reminder of walking humbly. It's not that we don't have moments that we're extraordinarily proud of, or moments like when our kids graduate, move up, when we've done something that's memorable, but when we do those to the honor and glory of God, I think that it feels a way to hold that in a nice, humbling sense.
There's so many things that are important. And for me, it's almost like we need to look at different areas. You know, my spirituality area, you know, my family and personal relationships, you know, people area, you know, my business area, and so forth. It, you know, there's so many things that are important. You know, it's kind of hard to rank one area above the other because they're all important. So I could name probably 12 or 15, you know, three in each area.
Right. Well, there's a big five for our living: finances, spirituality, our physical health, our relationships, mm-hmm. and our work, our life's work.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And those five areas will herald important things in each of those areas. But right. when we want to live from our soul center, from a truth that we're called to, there's something central within that allows us to flourish in all of those five areas. So
well, you would have to say your love of God and your love of your neighbor.
Absolutely.
The two commandments of God, right? That should be the most important thing in your life, right?
Well, I'm
family.
Go ahead, Grace.
God, country, and family.
Right. The most important thing is to identify what those three essential things are for you.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that everyone's going to have their own different three things. We may overlap quite a bit, but the example...
Leah, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to cut it out. I have to go, okay? But okay. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, you're very okay. welcome. Yep, take good care. And
bye.
We'll see you.
See you, Grace.
She has a luncheon engagement. So it's not that my things are necessarily better or worse than someone else's three things, but when you can take the time to discern what those things are and to be aware of movement within those, how that might change as we get closer to the election, or how that might change as the pandemic softens. In the beginning of the pandemic, there were so many people that I was speaking with who said, you know, some of this stuff just was not important. And I know these other things to be more important, things to be more true. And it was one of those thresholds between no longer and not yet that we talked about in the very beginning, where we're called to more closely examine our lives and see what's going on for us right now, and what three things are important to me among many. So Linda and Gigi and Tiffany, you guys are not, you're all muted, so I don't know if you wanted to add to the conversation or Otherwise, we have a really quick small plates.
We can't hear you, Tiffany.
Tiffany, if you put your mouse on the screen, that bottom thing comes up and you can unmute. There you go. Yep.
I did it a couple times and it wouldn't work.
Oh.
I don't know. For me, I feel like I have to put more thought into this. I have a couple ideas, but I think I'm looking at it in a more specific sense than, you know, a broad category. And I don't know, is that, like, as if I'm thinking of something that's really central to me, it's really specific.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I have a couple ideas of things I've thought of, you know, over time, but I feel like they're even changing a little bit now.
And I think that that's the beauty of this, is to not lose ourselves in the process, but to be aware that with spiritual growth, different things will unfold for us at different times and will draw our attention to something more meaningfully. It's all good. Unless you become despondent and you're not sure where you're headed, and then there are people that you can go to for something like that. But the searching as a part of the process, I think, is really... can be very joy-filled. I have there's a lot going on in the country these days, right? And there's this book called Sacred Space. And today's reflection, who knew the author, Sacred Space is from the Irish Jesuits. And so for this day, for the 29th week in Ordinary Time, they have this reflection from Susan Vogt. Something to think about and pray each day this week. So how do I let go of my anger? Generally, I bring it to prayer. The complaints come unbidden, so I might as well integrate it into prayer. What I've found helpful is to balance anger with gratitude. Near the end of my daily giveaway year, I decided to intentionally note one thing each day that I was grateful for, and to do this during morning prayer. I call this my gratitude offensive. It's been a good experience for me. As soon as I start fretting about the ills of our society, I call to mind that at least I have electricity and running water, or that we have finally decided on which car to buy and I had the money to buy it, or that my back pain and cold left in time for me to enjoy the dance weekend, or that there's a gentle breeze today, or if it's a person that I feel angry toward, I've taken it to confession and forced myself to think of a positive quality that person possesses and then hold him or her in prayer. This may take a lot of repetition. I keep reminding myself, don't quibble over small stuff, let it go, and substitute gratitude. Remember rule of thumb number 10, part 1, forgive others, it will lift your spirit. And Susan Vogt wrote a book called Blessed by Less, and I believe her giveaway year was when she sought to unencumber herself from a lot of material things in her home. So, yeah, there's a lot of tension in the world today, and we can react, and it's important to remember that we're in charge of how we react to things. We're in charge of what makes us whole, so that we can offer goodness and kindness towards someone who, in a different season of my life, I might have said, what the heck? What's going on here? So, again, not perfect by any stretch, but loving the opportunity to become aware with intention and what we were talking about over the past 4 weeks, to know that we're at a threshold always, and then to be able to enter into that threshold and identify the good, the kind thing, to do what's just, and to engage with God so that we can transcend and transform that moment.
It sounds so easy when you say it.
Oh my gosh, I know, it's easy. It's nice to be able to say it easily. I'm older and I still don't have it. I just keep working on it. And that's the part that's beautiful, I think, of any type of spirituality, but in particular Celtic spirituality, because it calls us to be thoughtfully present to the moment. And when we embark on something, whether it's taking the kids to school or making a meal or schlucking a whole load of laundry down to the basement to do laundry, all of those things, we can do it with intention and think of the blessing of the clothes that we have that will be laundered. And there's just so many things that help us to make a difference in the world, and that we can choose how to reflect upon so that our life can be a blessing to others. And then... if I screw up, I pray that for that redemption and the kindness and the mercy, the justice, and to continue to walk humbly.
I feel like what your message and what you've been talking about relates to my belief that life is what you make it. In other words, you can, with thoughtfulness, intentionality, And especially, I believe this when I get depressed occasionally, you know, I work my way out of it, and I thoroughly believe a lot of, at least in my case, life is what you make it. And if you are depressed, you have to do something about it so that you can work your own way out of it. And not depend on other people and counselors and all that kind of stuff. Some people can't do that, but,
I think it's a joy when you come to realize that there are certain things that have gotten you down. But if you have spiraled down into a clinical depression, just from being a mental health counselor, I'll just say that there are times one does need support. And due to chemical imbalances, sometimes one might need the assistance for a short time or for a longer period of some medication to help.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying that I've never gotten that depressed, mine are more, short-term and just not that deeply depressed.
Right.
So I can work myself out of it.
That's amazing.
We all get depressed at different times, but for different reasons. But
right, there's being down, and there's a clinical depression, and when you're down, and the way life has been over the past 6 months or so, it's hard not to feel like there are things that you wish were different, or to feel the heaviness of how things are being reacted in our society from this side and that side. It can weigh very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But with intention and looking at thresholds and living present to the moment, when we're really sucked down in circumstances, not the clinical chemical depression, but things just spiraling and crazy, we're usually, more often than not, thinking about the past or the future, and we need to bring ourselves back to center and to think about what's going on in this moment right now. It doesn't help when you see the country changing in ways that are tough. And I'm not going to go there because of separation of church and state. But there are a really, there are some things, even if you think about the loss of life in the pandemic, and that can be very sobering and depressing. And if you are a healthcare worker on the front line and you've given it your all, we know that there are people who have taken their own lives because they weren't able to make a difference. And that is extraordinarily sobering. Different tensions at different times and the depths of those tensions. So seeking to ground yourself in your spiritual center, your soul center, I think is a wonderful gift for us in living our lives forward.
And I think also your suggestion of, or maybe it was Vicky, I don't remember, but every day make a list of the good things that happen to you. They might be small, but it's the little things in life that can sometimes mean a lot.
That's right.
It would be helpful to look at the good things that you've, experienced that day.
Yes. And as the author of this little blurb said, it's your gratitude offensive. You're going to make sure that you're starting the day looking for things that are good. But at the end of the day, too, reflecting on that which has been good in that day, even when you feel like you've kind of sucked at a couple things, it's nice to know that that there are the good things that we've done.
Yep.
Okay, we've come to the end of our time together, and I just really appreciate the opportunity of sharing this small plates with everyone. We've looked at several different things, and it has just been a joy sharing with you. I'll be glad when we can get back to more normal times of worshiping together, but at least this is a technology that we can see faces and not just hearing a voice. We're recording this one for the voice. Last week, I thought I had it recorded and it wasn't recording. So I'm using a different tool today. So,
yeah, well, we appreciate your doing this, Leanne. I have learned a lot and appreciate, your doing this. It's been great.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. It gives you like a way to think about living more peacefully,
yes,
how it feels to me. Like, just talking about this makes me feel relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad. And I don't know who will be around for trick-or-treating, but I'm going to have my mask on and hope that I might see some of you bringing neighbor kids or, people in your bubble. So I wish that we could create a St. Paul's bubble. I saw a Wall Street Journal, Washington Post article yesterday about especially parents creating bubbles outside of their family, but so that the kids could play together. You have to pick carefully who you're going to bubble with, but if they hold keeping themselves safe in the same way that you do, then that's a possibility. And I really appreciate that is something that could be considered. But you've really got to know what they hold dear, and it may be more than three things that you're looking at, but how do they approach living their life safely? Do they go out without a mask or different things? But if you can trust that, then hopefully that expands your bubble a little bit and might make going into the fall and winter a little more comfortable. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a epidemiologist, but I kind of liked what that article said. So take good care, everyone. I love you all. And
likewise, everyone.
Okay.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.